We'd like to first of all wish you a very happy St. Patrick's Day. The junior and seniors are preparing breakfast after the masses this morning. All are invited to stop by. This is one of their fundraisers throughout the year, and I do encourage you to please support our junior and senior class at St. Pius V School. Also, there are still some tickets available for the $10,000 raffle. If you have not purchased a ticket and you would like to, or you have any friends or work associates who would be interested in winning $10,000 or at least having the chance to win $10,000, please contact Mr. Patrick Fonts for more information. Now next Saturday, March the 23rd, there's going to be altar boy practice here at the chapel for the Palm Sunday ceremonies and Holy Week. That practice is scheduled for 10 a.m. And there's also going to be a cleaning up of the grounds and the chapel and the breakfast room. And anyone who can, please come and help lend a hand and prepare the chapel for Holy Week and Easter would be greatly appreciated. And finally, please note the change in the Mass schedule for next week. Due to the beautiful but lengthy ceremonies of Palm Sunday, next Sunday the Mass schedule is the usual 7 a.m. Mass in the morning, followed by an 8:15 a.m. Mass. And this, the third Mass, will begin at 11:15. Now, the epistle appointed to be read today for Passion Sunday is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 9. Brethren, Christ being come, a high priest of the good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, neither by the blood of goats or of calves, but by his own blood entered once into the holies, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and of oxen, of the ashes of a heifer being sprinkled, sanctify such as are defiled to the cleansing of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who by the Holy Ghost offered himself without spot to God, cleanse our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And therefore he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of his death for the redemption of those transgressions, which were under the former testament, they that are called may receive the promise of eternal inheritance in Christ Jesus our Lord. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 8. At that time Jesus said to the multitudes of the Jews, "Which of you shall convince me of sin? If I say the truth to you, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth the words of God. Therefore you hear them not, because you are not of God." The Jews therefore answered and said to him, "Do not we say well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil?" Jesus answered, "I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and you have dishonored me. But I seek not my own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Amen, amen, I say to you, if any man might keep my word, he shall not see death forever." The Jews therefore said, "Now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and thou sayest, if any man keep my word, he shall not taste death forever. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, who is dead? And the prophets are dead. Whom dost thou make thyself?" And Jesus answered, "If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father that glorifieth me, of whom you say that he is your God. And you have not known him, but I know him. And if I shall say to you that I know him not, I shall be like to you a liar. But I do know him, and do keep his word. Abraham, your father, rejoiced that he might see my day. He saw it and was glad. The Jews therefore said to him, 'Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham?' Jesus said to them, 'Amen, amen, I say to you, before Abraham was made, I am.' They took up stones, therefore, to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. That by means of his death, they that are called may receive the promise of eternal inheritance in Christ Jesus our Lord. These words are taken from the epistle of today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends, years ago, a certain priest told a story about a young man and a crucifix. And this young man, whose name the priest did not reveal, was invited to dine with close friends of the family. The family was Catholic and was very devout and regular in their practice of the faith. The young man was a baptized Catholic, but as he grew older, he began to doubt his faith until he eventually gave it up in order to lead a sinful and even scandalous life. But during the course of the dinner and throughout the conversation that ensued at the table, the young man's attention was steadily drawn to a large crucifix hanging on the wall opposite where he was seated. Beneath the crucifix was a little plaque which was engraved with these words: "I did this for thee. What hast thou done for me?" Throughout the dinner, his eyes constantly reverted to the crucifix and to those words: "I did this for thee. What hast thou done for me?" Now, before the evening came to a close, the young man actually began to feel troubled. Troubled about the life he was leading. At length, he thanked the family and returned to his home. But that night, he could hardly sleep. He could not stop thinking about the image of the crucified Savior and those words which seemed to pierce his heart: "I did this for thee. What hast thou done for me?" The next day, when he awoke, after a few hours of sleep, he prayed for the first time in many years. And moved by God's grace and the thought of the love of Christ for him, which love was so perfectly depicted to him in the image of the crucifix, the young man went to the church and humbly made his confession. And with God's grace, he was determined to lead a Catholic life and to do as much as possible for the one who had done so much for him. But today, my dear friends, as I said, is Passion Sunday. It is called Passion Sunday because the church begins on this day to make the sufferings of our Redeemer her chief thought. You know, in the first centuries of Christianity, in the ancient Catholic Church, public penitents, that is, those who had been public sinners and had repented of their sins, they were excluded from the church at the beginning of Lent until Holy Thursday. That is, they were not allowed to enter the church. Now, this practice ceased over time. It was replaced by the practice of hanging a large purple curtain before the entire sanctuary. And the curtain was hung then between the nave of the church and the sanctuary of the church. and thus hung between the people and the altar. And it hung there from the beginning of Lent until Holy Thursday. And the idea behind this practice was to remind people that all were sinners and that all were penitents. Eventually, that custom of hanging this large curtain between the nave and the sanctuary was replaced by the practice of covering with purple veils all the crucifixes, statues, and the pictures of the saints in the church. But the purpose remains essentially the same. It is to redirect our focus to the fact that we are sinners and that we are in need of a Savior. It is to impress upon us the reality of sin and the price of our redemption. The church thus means by such things to move us to be truly sorry for our sins and to be firmly resolved, even as she draws our minds and our hearts away from the things of the world and to the great events that will unfold during Holy Week. That is to say, the Passion and Death of Christ. When we thus see our divine Savior covered with blood in Gethsemane, abandoned by His apostles and His friends, when we see Him bound with ropes and tormented by the soldiers of the high priest, when we see our Lord mocked by Herod and his court and called a fool, when we see Him tied to a pillar, and His sacred flesh torn from His body, when we see our divine Savior crowned with thorns and streams of blood mixed with hateful spit trickling down His bruised and disfigured face, and when we see Him unjustly condemned by Pilate and handed over to this vicious, bloodthirsty rabble, and we see Him stumble and fall as He carries His heavy cross through the narrow streets of Jerusalem, and we see Him meet His sorrowful mother whose heart is pierced with unspeakable grief at the sight of her son in such a state. And then we see the soldiers pound the nails into His blessed hands and feet, and we see Him hang patiently upon the cross for 3 hours, enduring the most excruciating and frightful torments of body and soul. When we see these things, my dear people, we must ask ourselves, is it possible to refuse to love Him? Is it possible to refuse to do what He asks? I did this for thee. He says to us, I did this for thee. And then He asks, what hast thou done for me? In other words, my dear friends, is it possible for us who have the one true faith and who believe, is it possible for us to refuse to love Christ by sincerely striving to keep His commandments? Will we not then give up those bad companions who lead us into mortal sin? Will we not give up the television, the movies, the music, and the internet when such things are proximate occasions of mortal sin? That is, when such things can and will cause us or others to fall into mortal sin. Will we not give these things up? Will we not give these things up for Him who gave His life on the cross for us? Never forget, my dear friends, that mortal sin is not just about breaking a law and paying a fine. It's about crucifying a Savior. Will we not then give up such things for Him and for our own eternal salvation? And will we not also be generous in taking up our cross and following Him? That is, will we not strive to be more patient when we don't get our way? Will we not be kinder to others and more compassionate and understanding? And is it possible that we who have often receive the mercy and the forgiveness of Christ, is it possible that we should hold grudges against others? My dear friends, the heart of that young man was moved. It was moved by the image of the crucified Savior. And those words, "I did this for thee. What hast thou done for me?" With the help of God's grace, without which we can do nothing, that young man who had given up his faith, who had given up his love for God, and who had even given up his eternal salvation, he was moved to repent of his sins and to love his divine Savior, even as he was ready to change his life and give up those things which led him into sin. And why did he do this? Because he came to understand what the crucifix means. He came to understand that the crucifix is not a mere decoration. The image of Christ crucified is a holy and a powerful reminder of what Jesus Christ in His infinite love and mercy has done for us, and what we ought to do for Him in return. It was for this end, the great St. Alphonsus de Liguori says, that our Savior suffered so much on the cross, in order that we should think of His sufferings. Because if we think of them, St. Alphonsus says, it is impossible not to be inflamed with divine love. As we prepare then for another Holy Week, in which, through the beautiful ceremonies of the Church, we will, so to speak, relive the events of the Passion and Death of Christ. Let us, my dear friends, dispel all coldness and indifference from our hearts. Even as we spend a few moments of our busy day over the next few weeks, considering how much Jesus Christ, the Son of God, loves us, and how much He suffered for us. And as we do, let us make a return of love to Him by offering Him our hearts, hearts full of love and gratitude, hearts that are generous in keeping His commandments, hearts that are pure, hearts that are patient and kind, hearts that are full of forgiveness for others, and hearts that are ready and willing to lose this world and all things in the world, rather than to ever lose God's love and God's grace by sin. Give me thy heart, our crucified Jesus says to us today. Give me thy heart. By striving to keep my commandments, give me thy heart, he says, by loving me in the blessed sacrament of the altar. Give me thy heart, he says, by placing me in the center of your homes and making my law the law of your home, so that goodness and kindness, obedience, charity, and purity, and mutual respect will ever reign in your homes. Do this, he says. Do this if you love me. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.